Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
In Judges 19, there is a man who is a Levite. He had taken a woman who was a harlot, or who was from quotation marks, whoredom, and he took her as his concubine. Now, why she was a concubine and not a wife, I do not have the answer to that. She apparently lived with him for a period of time, and for some reason or another, the Bible says she left him. She was from the city of Bethlehem, and she went back to her father's house in Bethlehem. And she was in her father's house for 4 months, and finally this Levi decided that he's going to Bethlehem to the concubine's father's house and get his concubine back. So he takes his servant, they take a couple of donkeys, and they go to Bethlehem to get this concubine. When he arrives at her house, or her father's house, her father is very cordial to the Levite. As a matter of fact, he takes him in and he feeds them, and the Bible uses the term merry quite often. Now, that doesn't indicate that they were drunk. It just simply means that they were enjoying the fellowship together. He stays a couple of days. He said, "I've got to leave." Her dad said, No, you stay here for another day. Well, he stayed for another day. Finally, he said, I'm going to leave today. And he said, "Now, I'll tell you what, you stay one more day. Spend the night, refresh yourself, and we'll be merry, and you can leave tomorrow." Well, on the next day, now we're down to the fifth day. And on that fifth day, that fifth morning, he said, I'm going to leave, but he stayed all day. So it comes down to the afternoon. He said, "I got to go." He said, "Well, wait. Stay one more night, and you can go in the morning." He said, No, I'm going now. It's time to go." So he left. He took his concubine, he took his servant, the two donkeys, and they left, and he's going back to the hills of Ephraim. Bethlehem is kind of south of the city of Jerusalem. Then you've got Jerusalem, and then above that, Ephraim is just a little bit north, and it's a hill country. And this is where this Levite was from. And so he said, "Now, I'm going back to Ephraim." So as they head back, "I want to go to a city where people who are, quotation mark, Israelites." He goes into a city by the name of Gibeah. There's an old man who'd been out in his field, and he came back in, and he said, "Never worry, come to my house, I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about the food, I'll feed you, I'll take care of you." He goes to the old man's house. The men of the city came to this old man's house and said, "Let us have that man that you've just taken in." He said, No. The concubine was sent out. The Bible says that they took her, and all night they abused her. All night long. And the next morning they brought her back. And she fell at the door. I started to entitle this lesson, "Dying at the Door of Life." She was at the door, and the Levi came out the next morning, and there she was at the door. The Bible is so plain, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible gives us the warts of an individual as well as the goodness. The Levi came out, and here is this concubine laying at the door. And I mean, this seems crude to you and I. And in one way, I mean, he says to her, hey man, get up. She didn't get up because she was dead. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that you and I can see as well, if we divert for just a second, I think that you and I can see as well a picture of the view of women under the Old Testament. Not under God's law, but under the views and the culture of that day. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not think that you and I do not think that the United States of America, I do not think that the world knows, well, maybe it knows, I do not believe the world understands that the Bible teaches the value of women. and finding in our world, in our society today, the idea or the concept that goes back to the doctrine of the Islam and the Muslims and their teaching, and that is how that women are treated under Muslim law. This woman was nothing. The Levi took this woman, put her on his donkey, and went on home. And when he got home, he took her body and he divided it into 12 pieces. And he sent those pieces of her body out to the 12 tribes, or out to the Israelites. And when they got those pieces, what's going on? And so they gathered together and he explained to them that the men of Gibeah, here's what they did to my concubine. They gathered the men of war. They said, we'll go down, we'll take care of these people, the Benjamites, and we'll take care of these Benjamites, and we'll take care of these folks and what they have done. As a matter of fact, it was quite interesting that there were over 400,000 of these Israelites who go to war. So they go down and they go to God and they say, we're going to go to war. And he said, well, okay, go on. So they go down and they fight the Benjamites, and guess what happens? The Benjamites beat them. They come back and they say, whoa, what's going on? They decide, well, we're going to go back. They said to God, we're going to go to war. He said, okay. But there's something missing in those two things, those two instances. They were defeated both times. They're saying, God, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go clean their plow. You got to know Hebrew to get it like that. We're going to go take care of them. Finally, the third time, you know what they did? They offered a sacrifice and they prayed to God and they said, God, we're going to go fight. What do you think about this? Finally, they say, God, we want to, what is it? God said, go and I'll be with you and you'll beat them. And they did. And these Benjamites died because of the sin against the man's concubine. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a sad day when a concubine lays at the door dying and everything else is silent. Three things I want you to see in this passage of Scripture today. Number one is the cruelty of Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, many folks today have the idea, Satan's my buddy. Oh, you remember several years ago, Budweiser had an advertisement, the Gusto. And folks say, man, isn't this great? We're living the life of the Gusto life. Satan is my buddy. I'm having fun. Everything's going great. Listen, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. The very life that this concubine lived caused her death. Satan will use you, will abuse you, and lose you. See, you and I have the idea, well, hey, I'll just go out here and me and the devil, we're buddies. I'm having a good time. My health is good. My life is good. My income is good. I've got a good job. Everything's fun. But the Bible says, be sober. Be vigilant. The devil, ladies and gentlemen, is your adversary. I want to tell you, I get bent out of shape when I hear folks say, well, I can't understand why God does this. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't it time we gave some credit to the devil for the abuse that's going on in our world today? Has the time not come that we put the blame where it is? The cruelty of Satan. Be sober. Be. You know what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew chapter 16? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter number 5, Ananias and Sapphira, you remember, why has Satan put it in your heart to lie? See, it wasn't a matter of, oh well, I think I'll just lie. Why has Satan put it in your heart to lie? When you and I look at John chapter 8 and verse 44, and they try, they were a lot like folks are today. They try to think, oh, Satan is our buddy. Oh, Satan is our pal. Satan is our friend. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when a man's life is centered in sin, it's centered in the devil, it's centered in the gusto of life, and not in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the day will come when Satan will push you out the door and let you die a hell that will live with you forever and ever. You're having fun? Yeah. If you don't believe that, turn to the Bible. And look at Job. Look what the devil did to Job. See, don't you think it's time, my friend, that you started giving the credit for the abuse that is going on in our world today to the devil, and then look to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who brings peace and contentment and satisfaction and glory and praise to God? The cruelty of Satan. I cannot understand why every man, woman, boy, and girl will not fall at the feet of the old rugged cross, as we sang a minute ago, when they look at the damage that is being done to the lives of so many people. The cruelty of Satan. Secondly, I want you to see the cry of the sinner. We don't hear this woman. But you and I can just envision in our minds as we read Judges 19, you and I can just see in her mind that she is at the door. Our world, ladies and gentlemen, today cries out for the message of the Bible. They're not going to come knocking on your door and say, will you come and preach and teach to me? But nevertheless, the cry comes. I think of the vision that Paul had in the New Testament, the book of Acts, and he saw this at night. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Or I think of the man by the name of Cornelius who sent to Peter and said, you come here and tell me words whereby I can be saved. I think of the words of Jesus in Mark 16:15 when He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Or Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Or Luke 24 when He said, you'll be witnesses of me beginning in Jerusalem. The world cries out for the message of the Bible today. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I must recognize that the world is lost without Jesus Christ. That the world has no hope, that He is our hope. I think of the words of Paul when he said in Galatians, I'm dead, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I think of the Bible passage which teaches us, I would have you, brethren, sorrow not as others which have no hope. The world cries out, the sinner, the cry of the sinner, I need to be saved, I'm lost. I think of three examples in the New Testament. I think of the example of the Ethiopian eunuch that down in his heart, ladies and gentlemen, he had been up to Jerusalem to worship. He was reading from Isaiah, but he was lost. And the Bible says that Philip joined himself to the chariot, heard him read, began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and he said, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? What do we find, folks? We find the cry of the sinner. Here was this wealthy man, and he's saying, help me, I need your help. Or I think of the passage in Acts chapter number 9. Here was a man, and he was yet breathing out threatenings, the Bible says, against the body of Christ. He was going to the city of Damascus. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us he had a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, you go to Damascus, and it'll be told thee thou what thou must do. Do you see, ladies and gentlemen, the cry of the sinner? Or it's Cornelius, as we mentioned a minute ago. I think about Acts chapter number 16 and the Philippian jailer. As he came and fell at the feet of Paul and Silas, and he said, men and brethren, what shall I do? What can I do? I need to be saved. It's so easy, folks, to look inward. It's so easy for Larry Acuff to become content. I'm going to be honest, ladies and gentlemen. Some days my heart longs for a foreign mission field where people are interested in the gospel of Christ. Where you don't have to beg people to come to services. Where you don't have to keep on top of time and time again. Why don't you come to Bible school? Why don't you come Sunday night? Why don't you come Wednesday night? Why? You can go to some of these nations, ladies and gentlemen, but they're so hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cry of the sinner. Do not the lands of our world cry out? Come over to Macedonia and help us. The cry of the sinner. Now I want you to look at this. First of all, the cruelty of Satan. The cry of the sinner. Now watch this. Thirdly, and I'm not going to elaborate on it because I've already done so some. And that's the carelessness of the saved. Think about this. That Levi, he let it. Is there any man in this assembly who would allow anybody to treat his wife the way they allowed those men to treat that concubine? I want to tell you, folks, there is not a man in this assembly today who wouldn't scratch and fight. He would do whatever he had. Listen, if somebody came into your house and they were going to take your daughter or your wife, or your mother, or your sister, or your friend, there's not a man in this audience. I don't care how big of a chicken you may be, how big of a coward you are, how big of a yellow streak may be down your back, there's not a man, woman, or a man in this audience today, regardless of his age, who wouldn't stand between whoever wanted that woman and those who wanted her, and the woman. Let us not, ladies and gentlemen, let us not be that way with the lost. Let us not be careless with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not take the Word of God and count it as foolishness. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. They counted the preaching of the cross as foolishness. Let us not do that. But let us be determined to take the message of the Bible and plant it in the hearts of individuals. Have you ever been through the line, some of these grocery stores or wherever it may be? This little girl, she's with her mother going through the line, checking out. And there was a pink box. And in that pink box was a string of pearls. And the little girl told her mother, said, Mom, I want to buy that. Can I have this? And the mother looked at it and picked it up and turned over to the back of the box, and it said $1.95. And she said, honey, maybe you can do a few extra chores and we can come back and buy it. The little girl went home and she dumped out everything she could find to have any money in it and gathered it up. She went to the next door neighbor and said, can maybe pick up some papers around your yard? And as she told her, can I do some? And she got enough money to go buy this string of pearls. She wore them everywhere. Bible school, out, everywhere she went. She was, she was so proud of that string of pearls. Her mother, the only thing, wouldn't let her bathe in them because she was scared to death they'd turn her neck green. One night her dad went into the bedroom and he said, "Honey, do you love your daddy?" She said, "Yes, daddy." He said, "Would you give me those pearls?" She said, "Daddy, I'll give you my princess doll and you can even have a little carriage that goes with it." He said, "No, honey, that's okay." And he went out. Another night, Dad sitting by her bedside and kissing her goodnight, and he said, "Do you love your daddy?" She said, "Oh, Daddy, you know I love you." He said, "Would you give me your pearls?" She said, "Daddy, do you know that piece of jewelry that I have had for years? I give you that." Daddy went out of the room. The next night he came into the room. She was sitting on the side of the bed, and she was crying. Little tears coming down her eyes. And he said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And she said, "Daddy, here are my pearls. I'm going to give them to you." Her dad took the pearls. And he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a beautiful velvet bag. And he opened the bag, and inside of that velvet bag was a very beautiful and expensive set of pearls that he draped around the neck of his little daughter. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a set of pearls for you whenever you're ready to give up that cheap set. If you need to be baptized into Christ or you need to be restored,